We understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Scheman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 993 ESPN.
ESPN. Rick, keep this up. I love this one. I'm Craig Scheman. No Pete Shepherd today. No Chris. Rick Church spinning the ones and twos.
I intentionally saved this one for 5 o'clock because this is my all-time favorite Elvis song, too.
Was this like his last
hit? It was towards the end, definitely.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
Yeah,
this
little naughty for Elvis, you know?
Yeah.
A little less conversation, a little more action, please.
Yeah. You know, you've slipped into a little Elvis impersonation a couple
kind of
times
day.
Today. For those that don't know, that are just getting in their cars, coming home from work, whatever the case may be, Elvis passed away 42 years ago today, August 16th, 1977. So we've been playing Elvis bumper music all day. It's been great. I made the point earlier that it's fortuitous that Rick Church was here today for this because I don't even know if Chris has even heard of Elvis. I mean, Elvis has been dead a long time by the time Chris came along. So we've been doing that. We did Elvis trivia for Wikipedia. That was fun. I actually have a lot of great questions left. I think we're going to have some fun with the leftovers in just a moment. If you're just tuning in, you know the deal here with the show. If you listen regularly, Chris is not here today. He got his boys snipped, a little vasectomy. He went through with it. That was a poll question on the Twin Peaks Twitter poll yesterday. He just tweeted out one word today, done. So he took care of that. Haven't heard from him otherwise. Probably icing the boys down right now as we speak. And have not heard word one from Pete Shepherd today, who's scheduled to take today off. He's playing in a Ryder Cup version that he did, some golf tournament he's got going on where he lives. It's a two-day deal. I told him to text in his results. He hasn't, so that means he sucked and probably let his team down and probably lost in the Stableford scoring method or whatever they were doing today. haven't heard from him. Other big news, the referee work stoppage, high school football. The games in Lee County, not going to happen tonight, but we've been told they're back on starting next week for the regular season. When it starts, the officials will honor their contract for $65 a game that they signed back in May, and they will go throughout the season under those terms and hope to get a better deal for next year and maybe be paid at a level that other officials are paid in other states, which is a little closer to $100 a game. All right, so you all cut up there. The BMX championship today.
BMW.
It's unbelievable. BMW.
I think you just said two other things.
I did.
That.
Thank you. It's been a long day. Been solo, although you've been doing a great job. And maybe I need another sip of the Mountain Dew.
I can't have any of mine.
Which we're both drinking right now. We're drinking buddies, Rick.
All right.
Both knocking down some Mountain Dew. Hideki Matsuyama just blistering it today. 9-under for the day. 12-under for the tournament. He has a 2-stroke lead over Patrick Cantlay. Tiger and Brooks, not even worth mentioning at this point. They're way further back. So there you have it. Let's see. We're going to get into some more football as well from last night. Spent a lot of time in the first half of the show talking about Kyler Murray. And I have some grave concerns for his ability. I mean, he's got talent. He's got strength. Throws a mean ball, but he just too small back there and just did not have a good outing last night. So we'll talk about that a little bit more before we leave the airwaves as well. Just for fun, I want to finish off some of these Wikipedia. We did Wikipedia today, these Elvis questions, some more trivia questions. Rick, are you ready for a few more?
Yes, sir. All right. I'm ready.
They're just too good to let them waste, so. Which George C. Scott film did Elvis memorize every line to? I mean, I can.
Patton?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay.
Like that's the movie you think of.
Yeah. When you think of George C. Scott.
Yeah. So, and I believe George C. Scott won an Oscar for that, I believe. But Elvis, apparently, a big fan, and memorized every single line in that. Do you know what Elvis's job was before he became famous?
I don't.
He was a truck driver. He drove a delivery truck for...
Donut truck, maybe?
No. That was donuts were later.
Okay.
This was Crown Electric Company in Tennessee. Here's a good one. This is good. Which musician broke into Graceland before he was famous?
John Mellencamp?
No.
Bruce Springsteen.
Yes!
Whoa!
Yes!
Yes.
The young punk Bruce Springsteen, before he was an anybody, broke into Graceland and was apprehended. Elvis was not home at the time. Let's see here. Genealogists discovered that Elvis was related to two presidents. Can you name them? Again, Elvis trivia because he died on this day in 1977.
Calvin Coolidge. That's always my go-to.
He was related to both Abraham Lincoln, and I'll connect the dots for you in a minute, and Jimmy Carter.
Really?
Yeah. Abe Lincoln's great-great-grandfather, Isaiah Harrison, was an ancestor of Elvis's. Jimmy Carter was a sixth cousin once removed. Now, what does that mean, once removed? That he was on the married side, related side? Okay. How many drugs were in Elvis's system, according to the autopsy report?
22.
Not that much.
12.
10.
10.
10. They were all prescription drugs, no illicit drugs, and no alcohol in his system. All right. We all know that Elvis passed away in the bathroom. They found him face down and rear end up
right
near the toilet. What was he reading when he died? And he was reading.
Now, if you'd said, where did he die, I would have known the answer to that. It's kind of a Mama Cass type question here. Reader's Digest?
No. He was reading a book called The Scientific Search for the Face of Jesus, written in 1972, written by Franco Adams.
Wow, some light toilet reading there.
No, well, you know, think about it. He was about to see the face of Jesus. And he was reading about it. The book's about the Shroud of Turin and all of that. So that's what he was reading. So that's your latest on Elvis Presley.
Hey, if you got just about a minute and a few seconds, I just, during the break, looked this up because I remembered years and years ago working a radio morning show, and we got a parody commercial for something that was called the Elvis Tape, secret taped phone conversations of Elvis's last phone conversations. And I always thought this was one of the funniest radio bits I had ever heard, and I was able to track it down.
Really?
Thanks to Google.
And it's all clean? It's all good?
It's all clean. It's all good.
I'm a big fan already.
Okay, you ready?
Let her rip.
You've bought his records. You've seen his film. Preview. You've even purchased the Dayglow Velvet Memorial paintings at the gas station. As a true Elvis fan, you think you've heard it all. But wait, there's more. Now you can buy secret recordings of Elvis's last telephone conversations. Yes, it's the Elvis tapes.
Hello, baby. This is Elvis. And I want you to come over right now and make me a big peanut butter and nana sandwich. A peanut butter and a nana sandwich will get me through the night.
You'll hear Elvis in his most intimate moments.
Hello, pizza man, pizza. Yeah, this is the Elvis. Won't you bring me over a couple large pies? Don't make it three. Don't make it six, double cheese. Yeah, I'm home. I'm alone. And I'm hungry.
And you'll hear Elvis reveal how he really feels about the one true love of his life.
I want you back. I want you back in my life, baby. And on your way back, would you pick up some donuts, please?
Jeez.
Egg jelly, cream donuts, crullers, cheese, Danish, too. I love my big honey glazed donuts. Without them, I can't do.
the Elvis tape.
Oh, give me, give me, give me, give me more donuts.
Available now in drugstores everywhere.
Wow.
I love that.
That's pretty good.
The Elvis tapes.
I think that was a non-copyrighted version with the preview stamp.
Yeah, sorry about that. We'll buy it later.
Oh, that was good. That was good. Gunpowder text again from a previous conversation. Do you guys know, you guys are acting like Chris had a big deal operation today. All that happened was that they took his you-know-what from his wife's purse and gave it to the doctor. Yeah, that's what happens with a vasectomy. Oh, you know, I've had several texts here. Here's another one. We talked about how I've always had a thing about, you know, as a parent, I always had to pay to watch my kid in the marching band, and other parents have to pay to see the kids play, and it's just part of it. You got to do it. And the schools make, you know, $7,000 or $8,000 on these games. And then you jokingly said, what's next? You can start paying for Pop Warner. And I've had several texts over the last 30 minutes of people that say in some areas, not all, they have had to pay to go see Pop Warner play.
Yeah, I've seen those texts too. Boy, that must be a real organized league. I mean, are they just milking parents at that point?
Yeah, probably. Or it's one of those situations because they can, or maybe it's in a well-to-do area or something. I don't know.
Because certainly there's a lot of interest in high school football outside of the high school.
Yeah.
You know, for football fans.
Yeah.
I don't know about Pop Warner, but.
Yeah. I know when I played Little League football, it was Pop Warner. We didn't call it that in India. Nobody paid to see me play. Tall Sock Guy says, you guys are acting a little goofy with those Mountain Dews. Are they infused with anything? No. We had a nice discussion
about... That's a lot of caffeine.
Had a nice discussion about rum earlier. No doubt about that. Let's see here. Songs to... I don't know if I read these live without proofreading. The Mighty Quinn. Songs to play in honor of Chris's vasectomy by Elvis Presley are Stuck on You, Are You Lonesome Tonight, Return to Sender, Love Me Tender, It's Now or Never. Hmm. Yep, could be. All right, keep them coming. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Don't forget, tonight, NFL football here on 99.3 ESPN. We've got the Dolphins and the Bucks. We'll carry the Buccaneers broadcast with Gene Deckerhoff with the call. If you are a Dolphins fan, fins up. You want to listen on our sister station, 96K Rock. We'll have the Dolphins broadcast over there. Okay? So, listen. I watched a little bit of everybody last night with the preseason games, and what stuck out with me or what was the most interesting for me were Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, and, of course, the Eagles' situation with those games last night. They lost another quarterback. That's going to be tough for them, the Eagles in their game against the Jaguars.
Sorry to backtrack real quick,
sure.
But Tim just called in from Naples. He said there is a youth Southwest Florida Youth Football League down there charges $5 to get into youth football games.
Really?
In Naples.
Man. That doesn't seem right.
It doesn't seem right.
You're a parent.
I mean,
you spent $200 for pads,
right,
and helmets.
You have to pay to get your kid into those leagues.
And then there's the fee, the sign-up fees.
Right. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, it's several hundred dollars.
And then they're going to milk you for a ticket to go watch a youth football game?
That's not right. I don't like that at all. But that's the way it is in some places and some nearby. All right, so the Eagles win over the Jaguars costly yesterday, 24-10 over the Jaguars. Cody Kessler, another quarterback to go down after Nate Sudfeld, my Indiana guy, broke his wrist last week, out for another 5 weeks. Cody Kessler, concussion protocol. I guess it's up to Clayton Thorson. They're going to have to get another body in there because they don't want to be throwing Carson Wentz out there, who's delicate to begin with, and have him out there in preseason games. So watch out for that quarterback situation with the Eagles. Meanwhile, another quarterback situation to keep an eye on. I saw the Falcons and the Jets yesterday, right? Jets win 22-10. I'm a little concerned for Matt Ryan. Very concerned. He was sacked just as much as anybody last year, and they got two more offensive linemen in the draft and a couple more free agents. And I believe they're the only league in the league ever to have five current or former first round picks across the line. And he's still getting hit left and right, sacked three times and hit more. So that was a big concern to me. And also watching Dwayne Haskins. Now, he did have a nice little 55-yarder. I think we'll take a listen to that in a moment last night. But, look, most of the times, it didn't look that sharp. He was overlooking, overthrowing some guys. The Ravens, 26-13 over the Packers. Lamar Jackson had a beautiful touchdown run, but it was called back due to penalty. And the Raiders and the Cardinals spent a lot of time talking about Kyler Murray, who just looked flat-out disorganized last night. 3 of 8 passing, 12 yards, had a 4-yard run, was sacked for a safety. He was doing the clap cadence, you know, snap me the ball. But the official said he was winding up his arms too much. It was too much motion. Got 2 false starts called on him, and then his linemen were moving and everything. It was bad. Clock ran out on him once. Looked very unorganized. Now, I will say this. Kyler Murray can scramble. Got the speed, can move around. Especially when he moves out to the right side, he's going to roll out and throw. And when he does throw, he does have a gun. There is no doubt about it. But he looks so diminutive. He looks like a little schoolboy back there. Can he see? Can he see over the line? Is he going to be able to see linebackers cutting in front of passing route? I don't know. It just looked really bad. And then on top of that, Cliff Kingsbury blows my mind. Because the officials came over to explain to him what was going on with the cadence and why they were calling the false starts. And Kingsbury says, no, I had a great conversation with the league. We're going to get it worked out. These officials, they probably haven't seen the clap cadence before. So, yeah, I'm going to remind Cliff Kingsbury, you're the rookie coach. You're new to the league. Your quarterback's the rookie. I think you guys need to adjust to the officials. Little warning. A little word to the wise. Anyway, those are just some of my observations from the games that I was watching last night. Let's take a listen to some post-game reaction in case you missed it there yesterday, because Kyler Murray did speak, and he said things were just flat-out sloppy out there.
As an offensive leader's place.
Is it locking up on us? All right. We ask that you please bear with us.
Yeah, no, I got it. Here we go.
All right.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Too many functions going on here. Let's try this again.
Behind the scenes.
Kyler Murray.
Let her rip.
Sloppy.
As an offense, it was, penalty. We had, I don't know how many penalties, six or seven penalties when I was in there that we had to clean up. Obviously, you can't have those. But it obviously wasn't as, polished as we would like it to be, but it's a learning experience.
Not as polished as we'd like it to be. It was borderline disastrous. And again, I know it's preseason, and I know they'll probably get it worked out a little bit. We've seen some rookie quarterbacks come in and look decent. We've seen some come in and look bad. That was really bad last night. Really bad. But Murray did say afterward, glad it wasn't a real game.
It's football. We didn't look as good as we would like to look, but it's a preseason. This is why it's preseason. It's just tough because it's not, we're not playing a whole game, and it's I don't want to say it's not real, but it's just it's not the regular season. We're not doing everything that we're gonna do, so that's why it gets frustrating. But at the same time, it's preseason. So
sound a little flustered, if you ask me. Raiders win the game 33-26. They were out huge, and then the Cardinals kept chipping away at it. It was going to kind of be funny if John Gruden's defense – I was going to watch his head explode with the Chucky face if his defense kept giving up touchdowns late and if they were to come out with a loss. They did not. We'll see all the back behind-the-scenes stuff on Hard Knocks on Tuesday. One of the highlights, though, Derek Carr did hook up with this early 13-yard touchdown on ESPN.
Second and 9. 4-man rush. Quick to the outside. Ryan Grant looking for that pylon. Touchdown Raiders. Ryan Grant. 13 yards from Derek Carr.
And I made this point earlier in the day in the first hour. I'll make it again. I like the ESPN broadcast. This is going to be the Monday night broadcast. And getting rid of Jason Witten, who really struggled and not really having a necessity for a 3-man team, getting Booger McFarland off the Booger Mobile on the sideline and into the studio. I thought he did a nice job, or into the booth. He did a nice job. It was a much cleaner broadcast to listen to last night. I was a big fan of it. I like Joe Tessitore. I like his delivery and his voice. So I think it'll be much better for Monday Night Football. Meanwhile, regarding the offense for the Raiders, John Gruden liked what he saw for the most part. But the other thing he saw out there, Antonio Brown did not play. Antonio Brown did dress up and did do some routes in pregame warm-up. Because remember, when you saw him on Hard Knocks, he was just running straight and struggling at that. Now, apparently, with the frostbite, you know, healing a little bit, he was able to make some cuts and some moves. I actually saw some of that myself on the NFL Network, and he did look pretty razor sharp. Gruden, very encouraged by Brown's warm-up.
Hell yeah, it was encouraging, and it's great to have him back. You know, it's been a strange couple weeks with frostbite and the helmet grievance. Can't say that that's common, at least in my history in this league, but we've weathered the storm. It's great to see him out there with his teammates. He appears to be in great spirits, and he appears like he's ready to get going here. So that's Antonio Brown. We're excited about him. I'm excited about him. I could care less what anybody else says. I'm excited.
You know, Rick, in all my years of covering football and talking about football, occasionally you'll hear some old good time stories about maybe the Ice Bowl, Frozen Tundra, Lambeau. Maybe some guys got a little bit of frostbite, minor frostbite in that game,
right,
when it was 18 below.
Right.
Now we're talking about, you know, guys going in chambers and purposely freezing themselves and getting frostbite. So it's weird. It's weird to be talking about frostbite in August.
It is. Yep. Yep. Definitely.
Well, Antonio Brown spoke after the game. He said, "Hey, my feet are feeling a lot better."
Well, I feel a lot better, and I'm excited to be here in the organization with my teammates and getting everything going on the right foot.
On the right foot. Does he even know what he's saying? Does he even realize he's punning himself? Meanwhile, Doug Peterson of the Eagles, we told you about his quarterback situation. He says he's never been part of a team to lose two quarterbacks in a preseason.
Carson's out of games. He's not out of practice. And we're practicing extremely hard with our starters right now in practice. So we're getting a lot of good work there. You know, it is kind of unique that two quarterbacks that I don't know if I've ever been a part of, a whether I played for the 14 years or coaching now, that we've lost two quarterbacks like this in preseason games. But you know, the beauty of it is we get them both back, and we'll evaluate, you know, Cody in the morning again, and still got a couple weeks of preseason to work out a lot of details and again make those decisions at the end.
You know, he brings up an interesting point there. Unlike Nate Sudfeld, who's out 4 to 6 weeks with the broken wrist, you know, possibly Cody Kessler could be back in a week, maybe 2 weeks. But it's coming up to the third preseason game. That's the important one, where the starters get most of the playing action, but we'll see what they do if they pick up another body now after losing two backup quarterbacks behind Carson Wentz, who's been known to get injured from time to time as well. Mentioned the Bengals' 23-13 win over the Redskins. Wasn't real pleased with what I saw from Dwayne Haskins of the Redskins. He did have one nice play, a nice 55-yard touchdown pass. This was on NBC4, D.C.
Haskins fires downfield on third down.
What a wonderful job Dwayne Haskins did on that one. That's exciting. He's got to be on top of the world right now.
Dwayne Haskins afterwards said he's just trying to play loose, free, and not overthink things.
No, I just play. I'm not really, like, conscious of making the same mistake twice in the moment. I mean, before the game, I'm like, all right, I'm not going to throw two picks again. So, I mean, that's what I thought, and I didn't, so I was good. But when I play, I just play. I don't really think about, you know, making the same mistake twice or missing a throw, or just let it go and move on to the next one.
Meanwhile, with the Packers game, they lose to the Ravens 26-13. Beautiful play by Lamar Jackson running for a touchdown, but he got called back due to a penalty. Aaron Rodgers afterwards said, "Hey, dude, love watching you. Good luck to you. You better learn how to slide." Gave him a little advice there. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers, a scratch with a sore back. Matt LaFleur says, "Hey, no long-term big deal. We're just being cautious."
No long-term concerns. He was a little tight yesterday, and it was just all precautionary. We never want to put him at risk, put him out there if he's not 100%.
When did you make the decision to go ahead and sideline him tonight?
It was game day decision.
All right, game day decision. So maybe we'll see him next week. Just to recap a little bit with the Melvin Gordon situation. No new news with his negotiations, right? But you remember about a week and a half ago, Philip Rivers was asked about it. And I think Philip didn't give it a second thought when he said, and I don't think he meant anything bad about it, but it came off a little awkward in that he said, well, I wish Melvin Gordon the best. I definitely want him here. Definitely like him, but we're in good shape. We got a bunch of young guys at running back here. We're in good shape. No problem. Think that rubbed Melvin Gordon the wrong way a little bit, as you can listen here to Philip Rivers doing a little backtracking.
We want Melvin back. What he brings a lot to our offense. You know, right now our young guys, you know Justin and Eck and a couple other guys are springing in. They're doing a heck of a job, and thankfully we have them. But we want Melvin back. There's no doubt about it. So hopefully we see him here before too long.
All right, and here's more of Philip Rivers talking about Gordon's contract.
I think I always want to be supportive as you can of your teammate, and at the same time, you got to move forward with what you got to do to get ready to prepare for the opener and beyond. So there's a nice balance there. But I know Melvin knows I'm pulling for him. And in saying that, that means you want what's best for him. You want him to feel great, and you want him to be at peace with how it all ends. And hopefully, it's right here. So he knows that. I doubt anything I just said will make PFT headlines. But I think those that know me will know that that's what I've meant all along.
He's right. And look, that's probably what he should have said, you know, early last week. But Philip Rivers is one of the good dudes in the league, good family man, pretty darn good quarterback and a leader on that team. So I think he'll be quickly forgiven in San Diego. I did it again. Los Angeles Chargers. By the way, Chargers safety Derwin James, a little bit of breaking news here, stress fracture in the right foot, going to be out for some considerable time for the Chargers. All right, keep your texts coming in. You know, Chris and Pete are gone. Chris with a vasectomy. Pete's out playing golf, probably injuring himself and not being back next week. They're all both supposed to be back on Monday. We'll continue with our tribute to Elvis with the bumper music on the anniversary of his passing. And we got what you got at the end of the hour. We will get you into the weekend and on your way. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
You know I can be found sitting home all alone. If you can't come around, at least please tell the phone. Don't be cruel.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Our tribute to Elvis Presley, who died on this day, August 16, 1977. Great songs all day. Yeah, you haven't played a bad one all day, but when a guy's got 18 number one hits, what can you do?
I was going to say, like looking through them, go, which ones do I eliminate? More of the thing, you know?
No doubt. That is Rick Church, who's done a great job. I questioned out loud earlier if Chris was here. He got his vasectomy today, by the way. I don't even know if he's ever heard of Elvis. I really don't.
Well, I mean,
I assume
from
he
a
has.
Pop culture perspective, you have to at least be aware, I would think.
You would think. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, let's do that.
He'll be back on Monday. He's icing himself down right now. Pete Shepard's probably icing himself down, too, in other body parts, because I'm sure he injured himself playing golf today out at his little Ryder Cup at Bonita. We'll get details on both of those guys on Monday. But fabulous job by you, Rick, today. No doubt about it.
Thank you, sir.
Also, here's the latest, in case you were not sure. The high school football officials situation. The Florida High School Athletic Association has reinstated the officials. The officials will honor their agreement that they signed in the spring, and they will referee Lee County High School football, but not tonight. There were six preseason exhibition games scheduled to be hosted at public schools in Lee County tonight. They will not be played. because it was just too late to get everything together. Plus, the fields are a little soggy anyway. After all the rain, who knows if they would have played anyway. Adam Fisher's been doing a great job for this on the Naples Daily News, covering all this. But what the good news is here, we will have football. The regular season starts next weekend, or next week. And those games will go on schedule. And the officials will officiate. And they will hope to get a better deal next year with their contract negotiations. So that's where we stand. I do know that Lemon Bay is at LaBelle tonight at 7 o'clock. That will be played. In fact, the Lemon Bay athletic director called us and was very helpful with some information earlier today on the show. And North Fort Myers game is a go in Port Charlotte, at Port Charlotte. Port Charlotte did get refs. Why? I know you're not to be confusing because Port Charlotte is not in Lee County, but they do usually use Fort Myers officials there due to their proximity. They were able to get the officials. So North Fort Myers exhibition game against Port Charlotte is good to go at 7:30 tonight. All right. I think you're all caught up there. In addition to today being Elvis's passing day, we learned during the show that today was National Telejoke Day and also National Rum Day. We had some great texts about people's favorite rum and all that, too, at one segment of the show. You know, there's always like five or six of these things. Today is also National Roller Coaster Day, established in 1986. Rick, you like those roller coasters that go upside down, or you like the roller coasters?
Not a big roller coaster guy, but it's interesting it's on National Rum Day because I wouldn't recommend drinking a lot of rum and going on a rough roller coaster ride, but I've never been an amusement park kind of guy.
It took me a lot of guts. We used to go to Kings Island in Cincinnati. I used to drive over and go there all the time, and there was this one roller coaster up by the entryway. It basically went down what seemed like a straight down, and then went into a loop-de-loop upside down and straight up, and then it went reverse. And so you did it twice. That, to me, was the most intimidating thing on earth. And then I finally did it. I realized, that's kind of no big deal. It's kind of fun because you're really strapped in there.
Right.
And then since then, I don't mind going on roller coasters that flip upside down. And now they do five loops, and you're sideways and twist around, and they're crazy.
Now, Craig, I have the privilege of being like one of the first people in the world to ride what is known today is a very famous ride at Cedar Point Amusement Park in Ohio.
Really?
Yeah, it's called the Tower of Power.
Yeah?
It's just this humongous pole, basically, that goes up miles. And
yeah,
they strap you to the side, and they shoot you up in the air, and you kind of come bouncing down.
Yeah.
And they have two experiences. The other is they lift you up slowly to the top.
Yes.
And then shoot you down from the top.
I've seen those. Those are like eight seats in a row side by
side. Side by side on the outside of...
I've never gone on those.
See,
I have no desire to go on that.
And I would not have ever done that on my own, but I at the time I was doing a morning radio show in Canton, Ohio.
Nice, Hall of Famer.
That's right. And so Cedar Point was a big advertiser, so they invited a bunch of local media to come when they were doing the, you know, grand re-unveiling of this new ride. This was like, you know, 15 years ago, but...
Yeah.
Well, more than that. So I was one of the media that was invited, and we actually had a tape recorder strapped to me, of course.
Did you scream?
Oh, of course.
Who screamed louder, you or today when Chris got his thing snipped?
Probably me. I was going to say, I had a female co-host of the show at the time, and she screamed less than I did.
Wow.
It was
that particular ride you're talking about, I've seen various... duplicated such rides at other places. That just looks painful. Like that would like compress your spine or something. The jerking and the up and down straight, but it was a smooth ride.
It was a smooth ride. Yep.
Okay. Here's the other thing. The Craig man would not go on a new ride like that. You know, I'd want it to be broken in, right.
get all the kinks worked out,
make sure all the bolts are tightened up.
That's what I was thinking. I know. I was like, why am I doing this first?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're a leader. That's why. It is also National Bratwurst Day, so have a brat and a beer today.
Oh, man.
Oh, no, have a brat and some
rum.
Oh,
that, I like the sound
of
that.
Can we do brats and rums? This is both Rum Day and National Brat Day.
Oh, now that I can go for.
That sounds like a good deal. All right, tonight we've got the Dolphins and Buccaneers. The Buccaneers broadcast here on 99.3 ESPN. 7:30 kickoff, so does that mean a 6:30 pregame, Rick, for here?
6:30 pregame. Yeah, and across the hall as well.
And okay, so 6:30 pregame out for the Dolphins version on our sister station 96 K Rock. There are a couple other NFL games tonight, the Bills and the Panthers, and then the Bears and the Giants as well. So I think we're all caught up to speed, man. It was a very informative and productive day. I see some more texts coming in here. Skyline says, Craig, the bat was the ride you described. Not there anymore, however. Oh, that was what they called that one ride at Kings Island. Gotcha. Mighty Quinn texted in a joke. I don't want to do live read a joke. It's National Joke Day. I better proofread that well, but it's hard to do while you're talking on the radio. If it's good, I'll come back with it when we finish things off. All right, should be a good weekend of football. I'm looking forward to everybody play, and then we camp it off. We even have our first Monday night football game on Monday. Also on Monday, Chris and Pete will be back. We'll get all the jokes and folly out of the way for their activities today. That should be pretty good as well. And, you guys, you know what? I'm going to give you guys a pat on the back out there. Nice job on the text line today. We had a myriad of topics to talk about, whether it be the high school football, Kyler Murray in the NFL, Chris's vasectomy, all that going on today. You guys were dynamite today on the text line. You kept me. My job is to try and entertain and inform you. And yet today, you entertained me, and I think Rick as well.
Oh, definitely.
Nice job.
Good day on the text line for sure.
All right, very good. Paratrooper, just want to say good show for being shorthanded today. You guys make my day. Thank you. Well, no, thank you, Paratrooper. Thank you very much. Okay, coming up, we got What You Got. We'll close it out there. We'll get everybody into the weekend just like that. I'm Craig Sheeman. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
And What You Got on this Friday is brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks with their made-from-scratch menu, something for every sports fan. Indulge yourself in their new smoker selects, like the Carolina pulled pork sandwich or sweet smoky ribs. And nothing pairs better than a 29-degree draft beer. Twin Peaks eats, drinks, and scenic views. All right. We've got a lot going on this date in history. We told you about how Elvis died on this day in 1977. You know, other stuff did happen. For example, Ray Chapman died after being hit in the head with a pitch. Carl Mays, in 1920, hit Chapman on the left side of his head with a pitch. As the Yankees play the Indians, and the shortstop would die in the hospital the next day. They didn't wear helmets back then. Mm. Took it right on the noggin.
Did that happen in the 60s as well with a Cleveland Indians player that was killed after getting hit by a pitch?
I think so. Yeah. I can't recall, but that does ring a bell a little bit. Mm. In 1954, on this day, the first issue of Sports Illustrated hit the newsstands. How about that?
Swimsuit issue?
No.
Oh.
I don't know. When do they start that?
I don't know.
I know it was a big deal in high school and junior high when I was a kid. So it had to be like in the 80s. But I don't know when do they start the swimsuit issue. Okay. I know why today is a National Roller Coaster Day, as we talked about earlier. Because in 1898, the patent for the loop-the-loop roller coaster was awarded to a guy by the name of Edwin Prescott, who invented it. I mean, I don't really think it'd be that hard to invent the first loop-de-loop roller coaster. You just get some steel, you make a loop, boom.
Well, you always have the concern, though, of people being upside down in a car. You know, there's that. But, you know, I guess you got to get enough momentum going for that the inertia keeps them in their seat, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought. The first one was installed at Coney Island, New York, and the roller coaster was able to carry only 4 people at a time. It went cautiously back then.
Well, that sounds even more scary because there's strength in numbers.
I think so. In 1858, on this day, the first transatlantic telegraph message was sent. How about that? It was sent by Britain's Queen Victoria to President James Buchanan. Who knew? Birthdays on this day. Frank Gifford. Remember him?
Sure.
Former player and broadcaster.
Kathy Lee's husband.
For a while.
A long time.
Until he wandered. She didn't like that very much. 1961, Christian Okoye was born. Remember him from the Kansas City Chiefs?
Good running back.
Was it the Nightmare Nigerian?
The Nigerian Nightmare.
Okay, I got it backwards. I have dyslexia. 1970, Bonnie Bernstein, American sportscaster born. And 1974, Ryan Longwell, NFL kicker. Okay.
Packer.
Yeah, you don't like them.
No.
Did you know that today is Madonna's birthday?
I did not.
She would be, let's see, 1958. That makes her 61.
Hmm.
I have time here real quick. So, you know, Madonna was in her prime when I was a teenager and a young adult. And I was sitting on the couch watching the Super Bowl the year that she did the halftime show.
I remember that.
In Indianapolis, I think it was. And my daughter comes down during the halftime show. She looks at the TV and she says, "Dad, who's the old chick?" That's when I first realized I was old.
Right.
I'm the old dad. James Cameron, born on this day. Titanic, right?
Yes.
And
Avatar. Avatar. Great movie.
1954.
Love that film.
Menachem Begin was born in 1913. Nobel Prize winner, former Prime Minister of Israel. And as we spent a lot of time today talking about the death of Elvis Presley on this day in 1977, do you know who else died on this day? 1948. Babe Ruth.
No kidding.
How about that?
Wow, Babe Ruth and Elvis Presley.
Do you know Babe Ruth was 53 when he died?
No, I did not, but...
Esophageal cancer.
Wow.
Probably drinking too many Diet Mountain Dews like me.
That's what I hear. I hear he liked to tip the dews.
He was tipping something. No doubt about that. All right, you got anything you want to add?
I was just reading this bizarre story about, and it's out of South Florida, of course.
Okay.
About WBC and WBO Latino heavyweight champion boxer Tyrone Spong. I don't know who Tyrone Spong is.
Never heard of him, but that's okay.
But he's received 20 misdemeanor charges for keeping a cougar as a pet and ultimately allowing the animal to escape. This is in Parkland, Florida, over on the East Coast.
Ah, figures it's Florida.
The cougar was initially thought to be an endangered Florida panther, was found roaming the South Florida neighborhood, and authorities had to subdue the 60-pound cat with a tranquilizer. And he's now received 20 misdemeanor charges that could carry up to 60 days in jail and a $5,000 fine.
Wow.
So, you know, if you're going to keep a cougar,
yeah,
just make sure you don't let him out of the house.
Wow.
I think that's the lesson here.
When you first started talking, when you said cougar, my brain said, all right, we're talking older woman?
She escaped, yes, and she was wandering the neighborhood, and yes.
I got it.
That's the animal.
All right. Well, when you started saying locked up and all that, then I quickly deduced, and then you said the word animal. I really knew what you were talking about.
Why would someone keep a cougar as a pet? I don't understand.
People keep cougars, lions, just weird things. Not for me. Not for me. Oh, thank you. Dopey texted in. January 20th, 1964 was the first Sports Illustrated with the swimsuit
born.
Edition.
Nice.
There you go. The swimsuit edition is as old as you. All right. So coming up in about a half hour, we got the pregame show with the Buccaneers. Gene Deckerhoff with the excellent play-by-play call as the Buccaneers will take on the Dolphins. Again, the Dolphins broadcast will be on our sister station across the hall at 96K Rock if you prefer that. So we'll be good to go. Everybody have a great weekend. Rick Church, always a pleasure.
Always
great job
my pleasure.
By you.
Thank you.
In lieu of Chris and Pete Shepard, I'm Craig Sheeman, and frankly, let's admit it, a fantastically awesome day by me. No doubt about
great.
It. I'm Craig Sheeman. Have a great weekend, everybody, and God bless America.